Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
We talk about a lot, and credit is at the heart of most of it. So when Sean met Derek, who I've recently dubbed the Credit King, and he told me we needed to invite this guy on our show, I was a little skeptical. But after 5 minutes on the phone with Derek, I was shocked, amazed, intrigued, and in total agreement. Today's show features a young man I call the Kobe Bryant of credit. I know you don't get it now, but sit tight, because you will in a few. Two black guys with good credit, let's go.
He's a Kobe and Jordan's always in the house.
Wait, who's Jordan? Is that you?
I'm on the mic, Mike Jordan. That's right.
All right.
Two black guys with good credit.
Well, Big Sean, a.k.a. retired old Jordan, why are we speaking with Derek today?
Well, I met this young brother really and truly by fate, and I was so impressed with him, as were you, the way he can see an opportunity. I love a mind like that. In my opinion, he's what it takes to be very successful. With discipline and seeing an angle most people can't, he was able to fly around the world the way I do, pity style, first class. So after hearing his story, I was like, this guy has to come on our show and talk about how we live.
Listen, I don't know if both of you fly around the world in exactly the same way, because I think one's doing it for a lot less than the other. But let's just let Matt take it away, and we'll be right back. Two black guys with good credit. We're talking to the new king of credit, Derek. Sit tight.
Prince. Can we call him the prince? The prince of credit?
Matt, save my co-host, please.
Thanks, Arlington. Creating career opportunities for yourself is easier than you think. The workplace is changing fast, and blackfreelance.com will help you build a flexible and profitable freelance business that will change your life. Freelancers around the world are out-earning and out-enjoying their employed counterparts in skill sets like writing, web development, accounting, legal work, and more. You can do the same at blackfreelance.com, the community-based platform focused on meeting your needs as a black independent professional. Organizations of all sizes, from local nonprofits to global Fortune 500 companies, are ready and excited to work with independent professionals like you. Whether you want to earn extra money towards retirement or reinvent your career, make that change today at blackfreelance.com.
Black guys.
Two Black Guys with Good Credit is a show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. As I said, people, today we are hanging with, okay, because of Sean, the... What is Derek? The prince of credit? And you're the king? He's the king, you're the prince, Sean?
So sensitive.
I'm the king
Derek
of rock.
Is
there ain't nothing higher.
Kobe.
Such MCs should call
okay,
me
he's the
sire.
Kobe Bryant of credit. Let's just stick with that. He's the Kobe Bryant of credit. So, Derek, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What do you do for a living? Where did you go to school? What's up?
Sure. But first off, let me say it's going to be hard for me to go home. My head's so big right now. I definitely appreciate the intro. No, but so I'm a guy from PG County, right outside of D.C. in Maryland. Went to Maryland Eastern Shore, and basically growing up, I didn't know too much about credit like most people I know. After I got my first job, moved down to North Carolina after school, and it just kind of prompted situations for me to learn more about credit. You know, if I wanted to move forward in life, I really need to understand what's going on. So that's kind of where I am today.
So what do you do for a living?
Yeah, so I'm a systems programmer for a financial industry. So I basically do computer work in finance.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. Okay, okay, that's a little bit. We're getting getting our listeners keyed in to who you are, but I know you're about to knock them down with some information throughout this section. So, Dion, as we do every week.
Yes, sir.
The lady with the facts, can you please give us a little history on credit reward programs?
My pleasure. Well, I thought this was quite fascinating, as I do, I think, every show, but reward programs actually began.
Really?
No, but think about this. Reward programs go all the way back to the late 1800s. Like, I thought this was a pretty new concept.
Really?
But there was a company.
That's when Arlington got his first reward card.
There was a company that was founded by Thomas Speary and Shelley Hutcheson. They sold stamps to merchants. So S&H, as they were called, S&H green stamps, could be earned by consumers when making purchases. So very similar to today at supermarkets, department stores, and other retailers, right? So once they earned a certain number of stamps, they could redeem right. them. They could redeem them for products at their local catalog or their local store. So very similar to what we do today. By the 1980s, that's when the airlines got into the game and created frequent flyer miles. And today, more than 60% of all credit cards issued in the United States are linked to reward programs. I mean, that's good stuff. Hello?
Wow, from the 1800s to 2017, not bad. So, Derek, what have you been able to do with credit and credit cards?
So this is the part that excites me. I mean, leveraging that, I've been able to fly first class to several countries, first class and business class. I've been able to fly to Dubai. I've been able to fly to Abu Dhabi, Sydney, Melbourne, Phuket, Thailand, Beijing, China. I just went to a lot of Western Europe, actually, for the summer. I took a month-long trip and was able to just bounce around using my miles.
Amazing.
I've really enjoyed it. Hotel stays, too, included. 5-star hotels, stayed at Waldorf Astoria.
That's what I'm talking really about.
Waldorf.
5 stars.
I feel like I had some real money. I like it.
Top of the world. Top of the world. I'm talking about Arlington. This ain't no your Best Western that you're accustomed to where you get the free breakfast
in
the hallway. This is how we talk about Arlington. You understand the level my brother just told you. You talk about 5 stars, top of the world.
Talking Seychelles here. Countries of Africa, stuff like that.
You go home.
Love it, love it.
Seychelles. Listen, Sean has a 5-star reward program at the Best Western, and he's enjoying it immensely. So, Derek, let me ask you something. When did you start using credit the way that you do? Like, when did you start and what was the reason? Like, what was that moment where you're like, I got to find a different way?
Yeah, I started in late 2013. I just sat up one day and said, hey, I don't know why things are going the way they are, but other people are flying first class. I'm not. Let me take a look at my credit to see maybe if I can even get a home. I just really started looking at everything holistically at that point, a couple years in the working force. So I've actually found this method, and I've been able to use it to not only build my credit, but I've also used it to leverage credit card rewards, frequent flyer miles, and hotel points in order to fly to these places and, you know, just have great experiences. Me and my wife, I even got married overseas. I mean, I just love it.
Wow, well, well done. But I think this is, like, mind-boggling to me. So Bankrate.com did a survey this year, and they said 31% of cardholders never redeem their card rewards.
I've heard.
Yeah, that's crazy.
When I see that stuff, it just, I don't know. We like to maximize ours, but yeah, everyone doesn't use it. I don't think a lot of people know how, so hopefully we can get some people to use them.
It's like leaving money on the table.
It is leaving money on the table, definitely. Those things expire.
And, you know, just to clarify to our listeners, I think the term that people like to call what Derek does, and this is in the most positive way I can put it in, but this is the term, it's called travel hacking. You know, so explain, you know, Derek, to people how travel hacking has changed and this whole concept of travel miles and buying miles.
Yeah, simply put, travel hacking is a way to just enhance your value by having frequent flyer miles as a currency. Think of it as you have a dollar. A dollar might get you so far. It might not. But if you have something like freaking flyer miles, it's another form of currency, like a crypto, like bank, like Bitcoin and the rest of the things out there. So $500 may or may not get you across the country. If it's last minute, all of a sudden that price jumps to $1,000. But a freaking flyer mile or reward redemption may cost you, let's say, 5,000 miles. And it's just up to the people to know exactly what those miles are worth. So it's good for just trying to get around where you want to go with a high-value redemption.
So you really look at as travel miles as money. And that's the mindset that you have. It's money. It's hard money too that you trade on, basically, right?
Definitely. If I can buy them off someone, I would.
So are you self-taught, or have you ever thought of how you can really monetize this, or is it just strictly a hobby for you right now?
It definitely started off as a hobby, something really fun, something that, you know, I kind of saw one day, and my girlfriend at the time, I told her, hey, I want to go to these places. She wasn't sure if she wanted to do it. And I told her, hey, I'm going to fly first class. If you want to fly with me first class, follow me.
That's what I told her. In 2007, he's like, I'd rather fly coach.
You want to fly first class, come with me. I got good credit, and I got two seats. What you going to do?
Well, look, I know she didn't want to sit in the back and watch me in first class. So, you know, we talked it out, and we got a plan together, and we both did it, right? Nobody wants to see somebody else there with having too much fun. I'm
really
just leaving it at that.
Intense conversation. You can sit in first class, or you can sit in the back and coach.
She's going to kill me
when
she hears
this. What do
you
want to
do? Exactly. All right. So, Derek, what is your whole beef with debit cards? Like, you don't use debit cards.
Right.
Why not?
All right. So here's the thing. Debit cards, to me, that's my real cash, and I get no reward for using it. The way I see it, if something costs $10 and you spend cash or use your debit card and I use my credit card and I get points and you don't, you're spending more for it. I still use the same amount of currency, but I actually get a value back from it. You don't get value back when you use cash. So I can't stand it. I don't want anyone to have control over it. And then from a financial point of view, I've got purchase protection. I can move money around. If a bank charges me something on my credit card, I can freeze it and move along. It doesn't really work the same way if I use a debit card or cash.
Just a short story. Derek and I just came from dinner. We just had something to eat before the show, and the bill was like $21. And we're looking at each other. My debit card, your debit card. We're in a fight to see who's going to drop their debit card or somebody going to. And I wasn't brave enough to tell the waitress, can you split this $20 bill in half?
You mean credit
and
cards.
I'm the guest and my credit card goes first.
And that's how you treat the guest. Give me the cash, and I put my card down, and he was holding his card in his pocket. We were like, who's going to give out the cash first? I finally had to give in and put the cash to him, and he put it on his card, and he owes me 10 points, and I want my 10 points.
Well, moving along, mailbag time. So we have
mailbag.
Maya Gibson
mailbag.
From Dayton, Ohio, who's asking, Derek, what is your card of choice?
So it actually changes, but I would say my workhorse. And when I say workhorse, the one that I use the most, that's going to be my Starwood Preferred Guest Card. And the reason why is because for me, it transfers to tons of different airlines and hotels. If you're trying to do something else, maybe, but it has the most transfer partners for me. And that's my workhorse, my go-to.
What's the fee on that card?
$59 a year.
Wow.
But it makes up for it in the value that I redeem. I'll get into that a little bit later.
Definitely what you preach, huh?
So one more question. Sorry, Arlen, because I know you're the question guy, but I have one more question. I'm so into this. Were you always this comfortable and strategic, like, with your money, like me, the king of pop right here? Were you always comfortable right now?
I was always strategic, but not always comfortable. Simply put, in my earlier days, I would always try to find a good way to use my money in the most effective way, but was it always good in practice? No. These days, I try to use everything strategically, and I have a method behind it.
Well, see what I told you guys? This guy is the Kobe Bryant of credit. Sean may be a retiring Jordan, but this guy is
No,
the Kobe
I'm not
Bryant.
Jordan for the Wizards. I'm Jordan for the Bulls. I'm not that.
You're
I'm
Jordan
prime time
Chicago
crossing over Larry
Sox,
Bird,
Black
Jordan
Sox.
For the Bulls. I am not the Wizard Jordan.
You are Jordan playing baseball for two
oh,
seasons.
Geez.
And with that, Matt, take us away. Don't give him the chance to say anything else. Well,
thanks, Arlington. This sponsorship break is brought to you by Clean. Clean is a financial literacy program designed to educate youth in a fun and interactive way through class lessons, workshops, and web seminars. To bring it to a school or organization near you, please visit www.financiallyclean.com.
Black guys.
Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit. We're hanging out with our man Derek, and we're talking about rewards and credit. This section, we're going to break it down. We're going to dig into it and find out how Derek does what he does, if there have been any pitfalls, any nuances, a little bit of the interesting elements that he has brought to the game. So, Derek, I want to start by asking you, how does this work? But I really want you to break it down for the people at home.
Okay. So I'm in the hot seat. I'm going to try to break this down really, really quickly. So the way to do it is, you scope out a credit card that you want, and the reason you scope that card out is because you have a destination in mind. I can't stress that enough. I want to figure out where I want to go. After I figure out where I want to go...
You don't know where you're going, you have no place to go, my brother.
Exactly. So after I figure out where I want to go, you go ahead and get yourself a card that'll take you there, something with a frequent flyer mile program that aligns with it. After you do that, the card has a certain amount of points that it'll give you, so maybe 50,000 points. At that point... I know.
Wait.
Sure.
I just want to interrupt you real quick. You said you choose a card that aligns with it. What does that mean? I want to go to Dubai. I need to get a United Arab Emirates card. I need to get a... What does that mean?
Sure. Let me try to simplify this, because for me, it's a science where I know what plane I want to fly. I know Middle Eastern carriers are better than domestic. So simply put, I'm in Raleigh. I want to go to Baltimore, right? I know Southwest flies there, right? So I get a credit card, maybe gives me 50,000 miles. If I know that 25,000 miles will get me there, the Southwest card, I'll get that. Since they offer me the 50,000 miles, I'll go ahead and spend the minimum sign-up bonus, which may be 2,000 in 3 months. After I do that, I get the points, and then I redeem them on the Southwest flight, on the Southwest website. And now I get my flight for $5.60. That's the cost of taxes, the September 11th TSA fee. So do that each way, and now I have my flight.
And how far out are you planning these trips?
It depends. Domestically?
A lifetime. A lifetime.
Domestically,
I don't
doesn't
know any
take
of that
long.
Information. He just rattled off like it was nothing.
It really varies. International, take a little bit of time. So I think the summer month-long trip I did took me about 9 months.
Yeah, but how long? What's a little bit of time?
A little bit of time would be 3 months. A long time would be 9 to 12.
Wait, let me just ask another thing here. You said you tap into a card for 50,000. Most cards are going to start you at like 30,000 with like a $3,000.
Well.
Okay. See,
so
this is the difference between
all right.
Myself, so, Curry.
All right. And I will show you how we go to the majors. This is how we get to the majors, okay? So you don't just walk up one day, go online and say, hey, I want this card because it gives me these miles. You want to get it at the highest value. 11 months out of the year, they may give you 30,000, but that 1 month, they may give you 150,000.
Have you seen that before?
You've got to go do it. Of course I've seen it. I've seen it all. That's how I do this. You capitalize on the moment.
Excuse me, Kobe.
So again,
shots from deep.
Yeah,
you
Jordan.
Sometimes. Listen, man.
I don't want to give everybody too much that it overwhelms them, but I will tell you, yes, you know, when I see it at its maximum, you know, it's like anything else. When you see that roller coaster, you want to go to the high part. You don't want to just ride on the slow loops. You want to go to the very top. And that's what I try to do.
So when you hit 150,000 miles hit your account, you just like bling, bling, ching, ching.
Oh, I do it. Oh, yeah, because I know what those miles are worth, too.
What is it worth in real numbers? What is that to you? Dubai and back?
So here's an example. Here's one. Emirates first class. It was the best first class and one of my sweetest redemptions. 90,000 miles first class. That sounds like it might be a lot to spend, but all I really had to do was open up 4 cards, no spending. So the annual fee was $75 at the time, right? So what's 75 times 4? 300? That $300 plus $19 in taxes gave me a first class flight, total redemption cash value of $21,000.
Wow.
They have a shower on the plane. They've got a bar on the plane. Hennessy Paradis.
All right, how many credit cards do you have?
So right now I've got 19 active credit cards.
Dion, what's the amount of credit cards that most FICO high achievers like this guy have?
Drum roll, please. 7 cards, actually, based on FICO's analysis of their high achievers.
Guess I went above and beyond.
Yeah, at least a few.
Yeah, definitely.
But here's the thing, Derek. I know, and speaking of this, sorry to put, I don't want to put your business out there like that, but didn't you always say to me you also have 8 savings accounts too?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Say what?
Nothing that I'm ashamed of or anything like that. So it's actually quite the contrary. This went back to my savings habit. The first thing I want to do when I get my money is pay myself first. Mm-hmm. So I split my money between different accounts. One for my general savings. I've got an older car, so one for my car. Obviously, I love to travel. Put a little bit away for travel. One for my bills. One for the remainder. I've got one for a fund that I'm trying to start up. So I split my money accordingly. That way I know how much everything is. The problem that I see most people fall into is they have all their money going to one place. Then when they overspend, they question what happened to it. I say, if you know where your money's going, you know what's going on with your money. That makes the most sense to me.
Right.
And so how do you keep this system place in track? And what do you, is there something that you do that help keep everything organized and help? And are you disciplined like that with your spending habits?
Definitely, definitely. I keep a close rein on my money. The reason why is because if I don't, I'm going to have to borrow from somebody.
Yeah, dude,
and that's
going
to be a bank.
I was nervous today eating with you. I didn't know whether we should order a Coke or orange juice. I just stuck with water. So I don't want to go over your budget and you're upset.
I have to budget all that stuff. You know, if you don't have everything set up in the right way, then what's going to happen is you're going to overspend by $20 this week, $20 next week. Next thing you know, you're over $100. That money's going to come from your savings account or it's going to come from somebody else. Next thing you know, you're in debt and, you know, this whole cycle starts over. So to me, it's very important. And that's the system I keep with the different checking accounts.
I have a little ad hoc question. I know our listeners right now must be listening in their car, listening to them, and they must hear these birds flying around, which I don't hear them, but somebody may hear them. Cheep, 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 cheep. Now, through all this, do you consider yourself, let's just be blunt, cheap?
I do not. My wife did at one point. Not going to lie there. She did it, but we had to see the greater goal. I'm not going to hold any budget.
Before the first class tickets?
Oh, my God. The first class tickets changed everything. Yeah, because, all right, so saving money is not attractive. It is not attractive to be the guy that puts away money for a rainy day. What is attractive is being that guy that has a lot of money in the bank account. That one day something happens and no one knows where the money comes from. And I say, oh, we're taken care of. We're good.
Yes.
That's what's attractive.
Nice. Wow, I got to applaud you. Strange.
And just to kind of just elaborate on the conversation that we're having right now, because I know everybody's eyes went wide when you said 19 cards. But when it comes to credit, really and truly, it's about how you manage your debt and if you're paying on time. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and honestly, it's a myth that too many credit cards hurt you. You know, not to go too far into the pie that makes up a credit score, because there are several different credit score scales out there. It's a myth that having more than one credit card...
Wait, are you saying no one knows what goes into a FICO score, but you know, so you're declaring it a myth?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I'm sorry, brother. I just wanted to clear that up.
I just wanted to make sure it was clear that that's what I'm saying.
So your name is Derek Popo Fico.
There you go. Derek Fico Po. There you go. No, but having a lot of different credit cards actually helps you. They have a thing called debt to income ratio. Well, if you got several credit cards and you're using low utilization, now you have high income, low debt if you're managing it correctly, right? So if you have a lot of credit cards early on and keep the early ones open, now you have a good age of credit history. So a lot of those check boxes that lenders are looking for, it's all there by having responsible credit card use. I got to preface it with responsible now, because you can't just go wild west and have 20 credit cards and rack up debt.
Right.
But responsible use is actually going to boost your credit score up dramatically.
As you're speaking of boosting credit, explain that little 1 year, if you close a card within 1 year, it doesn't impact your credit score there, FICO Po.
Yeah. So that goes back to the age of your account, right? So if you have a card, now not your oldest card, but say you have a new card that you open up. It's only a year old. If you close it and you have older cards, it doesn't hurt the average age of your account. Some people think always closing a card is bad for you. It really hurts if you only have a few cards. But the more cards you have, actually, it doesn't really hurt much because your average is still intact.
But I think the key thing you said there was the length of time you've had.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
The previous card.
True. Don't open up your first card and then close it a year later. You have to start somewhere. So if you get a card early on, keep it. If it has an annual fee that you don't like, downgrade it. You don't have to pay the annual fee. Product change it to another one that doesn't have the annual fee.
Within the same bank? Are you saying from the same institution?
Correct. So if you have a Capital One Venture card that has a $59 annual fee, you can change it to a Spark or a Platinum. Right, that have no annual fee, and you should be good to go. All you have to do is buy a pack of bubble gum with it every 6 months to keep the card open. What's the problem in that?
And then you also have to show up with like a 750 and above credit score.
Well, though the Capital One is pretty lenient, and they report to all three bureaus. So that actually helps. Fun fact, every credit card does not report to every bureau, so...
This is the first I'm hearing. That was just a little nugget I just learned today.
All right. I want to dig into another one of your theories.
All right.
Let's look at another one of your theories, which is the theory of you borrow from yourself. You're either borrowing from yourself or you're borrowing from someone else, i.e. credit card companies, banks. Tell us about that theory, because you live to just borrow from yourself.
Right. So if I borrow from a bank, I'm paying interest. I barely receive interest from a bank. Why would I want to give them money? So with all my credit cards, I actually don't pay any interest. I pay the statement balance and move on. When it comes to my savings accounts, if I ever were to go over, I would try to make sure that I have enough in there to move to myself. Another quick way to do that, and again, this is responsible habits. I'm not telling you to go out and do this all crazy, but balance transfers, for instance, they can be used to your advantage on credit cards. You can leverage the money with no interest.
Mike Jordan beside you is the king of balance transfers.
So he knows what I'm talking. That's old to new right here. That's old school. Right? So as I put my LeBron James King hat on and I sit on my throne, saying there's responsible habits, you can leverage it so you don't have to pay any interest. So what I like to do is I like to make sure that I pay myself first. If I go over, I maybe budget things a little tighter for the next month. And if something big comes up, then I like to make sure that I can borrow money from a bank with no interest using things like balance transfers for 0% interest, taking advantage of a 0% intro APR credit card. Mm-hmm. There are so many different avenues out there to not pay interest, but you just have to leverage it the right way. And using credit responsibly will get you to the point where you can make those moves.
Okay, I know on the fact that time is starting to get tight, you touched on this before, but explain exactly how you were able to get that flight to go from your home to Dubai by only paying the taxes. It was you explain that, because you got in before to like different cards aligned with different carriers, and different carriers have different tax rates. Explain that.
Yeah, so I don't want to make it too convoluted, so I'm going to try to make this as simple as possible. For me, it was knowing what flight I wanted to take, and in this case, it was Emirates. I know that Alaska Airlines, which is a domestic airline, I know they partner with them. If I accrue their mileage plan miles, I can use them to redeem first class on Emirates. So for me, it was simple as knowing what their credit card bonuses were, knowing exactly how much the redemption rates were, and then after that, I just would accrue. I'd open up a new card, make sure I hit that threshold. Next thing I know, I have 25,000 points apiece. At 90,000, if I open up four, I have 100, still have 10 in surplus. And in that case, they only passed on the taxes to me. So I ended up paying, I think, $19 to go there. After I paid the annual fees.
Unbelievable.
Mind-blowing.
Unbelievable.
Mind-blowing. It's funny you mentioned the Capital One Venture Card. I did a little research to see what the best travel reward card is out there. And NerdWallet actually did a whole analysis of 534 cards for 2017. And they said the Capital One was the best card for earning and redeeming points. That was the easiest to earn and redeem.
It is the easiest. I totally agree. It's the easiest. It may not be the best, but it's the easiest. Ironically, that was one of the first cards I started out with, was the Capital One Venture, because it, you know, statement credit, and it's pretty clear how to use that.
Right.
Wait. First you took on FICO, now you're taking on NerdWallet?
If they're in my way, I gotta take them down.
I feel you, brother. I feel you.
Well, I don't want to be the sour of tone or everything, but I know with any business venture, anything you do, there's always pitfalls or just things that people should be aware of. And, you know, and also, you know, most people are not Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. So let's, you know, to our audience, what would you say to that?
The biggest pitfall that someone can fall into is not managing their spending. Simple. Manage your spending. Mm-hmm. If you're spending more on this card than you can handle, don't do it.
And I guess you mentioned something that was really good information, that I guess a good start, if you could, is the Venture One Capital One card. You'd say start out there, build up your credit there, start earning the points and redeeming them through that card. Would you suggest that?
Yeah, definitely. I think Capital One would be a good one to start with. It reports to all three bureaus, so it can really help you establish a good credit history. After a little while, maybe you can get a credit line increase or something and kind of display your good credit habits.
Okay, so we're in the bottom of the ninth, Derek. Explain to me how you tried to buy a house with 100% financing using cards. Because at this point, I believe you could do anything, so just break this down.
I agree.
All right, so this one wasn't exactly with cards. So, I mean, the cards got me the credit score that I needed, but long story short, what I was able to do was leverage affiliation with a credit union that had 100% finance. And a lot of people thought that myth was gone. But long story short, I was able to find at least five different credit unions that allowed me to do so.
Amazing.
And question for you, so our audience can see like how being credit responsible, which I think you are, you know, along with this whole travel thing that you're doing, you're really just being credit responsible and you're leveraging it. What was your credit score when you started this? And what is it today?
Credit score starting this was in the low sixes. I want to say 610s. Now I'm above 800.
And could a 610 allow you to do all this?
Not at that moment, but it can give you a good starting point.
And now you're what?
Now I'm above the eights.
Look, no.
Now you're what?
Now I'm in the eights.
No, 6-10. Now you're sitting beside me on the flag.
Oh, okay. now you're by me. Okay, all right.
Nicely done, Derek, I will say. And just to give a few stats out there, FICO report reveals that 27% of the population has a credit score over 750, which I thought was pretty impressive. And then 13% of the population is over 800. So there's a few of you out there. So really and truly, 40% of Americans are above 750.
That's great.
So I say we clap for that. Yeah. I mean, I was very,
that's
very
great.
Happy.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, take us away. We'll be back with more Two Black Guys with Good Credit. We're hanging out with the Kobe of credit, the LeBron of credit, the King of credit, the Michael Jackson of credit. Call him what you want. Keep it locked.
Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. We're getting it.
Thanks, Arlington. This commercial break is brought to you by Canvas Malibu. Canvas Malibu is a boutique and contemporary art gallery located in Malibu, California. At Canvas Malibu, it starts with art, and their curated offering of shoes, apparel, accessories, and art are a definite must-see. Canvas Malibu is located in the Malibu Country Mart or online at canvasmalibu.com.
Two Black Guys with Good Credit. We're getting it. We're still sitting here with my man, Derek. Yes, I'm not going to call him the credit king and things of that nature. We're sitting here with Derek. Oh, see, now you like it. Now you like it.
Derek,
because we are entering the season of shopping, the holiday season, Here we want to get into some of your tips, suggestions, things that people need to do. But before I do that, I want to ask you, why are you such a fan of computers?
I'm a fan of computers because I can do everything. Sometimes I call it like pajama points or just things like I can do everything from my room. I don't need to be outside on Black Friday. I can be in my house on the computer ordering what I need to order. I get the ability to do everything from where I am. Love it.
But wasn't the computer integral to you figuring out how to do what you do with the cards now?
Definitely. It gave me the ability to meet people from different places, meet some of the travel hackers, gain tips and points, and kind of leverage things that I wouldn't be able to find locally.
So it's where you did all your research to kind of school yourself on this process.
Yeah, they don't have this in the library. I can't go down the street.
So I know you touched on this before. You've gone over budget before, right?
Yes, I have. And I've paid for it. Yep.
What do you do to stay on budget? Are you that guy that's like, I'm not getting the Jordans this month. Maybe I'll get them next month.
I am that guy. I'm that guy that when my friends come to town, they say we need to go out. You know, hey, let's celebrate. I'm looking at my wallet to figure out where we're going to go. I mean, things come up, right? If I get a parking ticket, I've got to pay that. That wasn't in budget. It's got to come from somewhere. Think about it. It's all real stuff.
And so you're that disciplined to be like, I'm going to cool out tonight because I got a parking ticket?
Yes. I might not say it like that, but that's how it's going to come across. Hey,
like,
let's
I
do something low-key.
Good, guys. You got to go on without me.
No, we're going to have something in-house. I'm not saying I'm going to pass up on opportunities, but we just need to change things. You know, this is finding value
so
in
like,
different ways.
I'm grilling steaks. We're not going to Morton.
Boom. Why we need to go to Ruth Chris when you guys can come over?
Come over. I'm grilling. So, Derek, what are some things that you've learned about credit that most people just don't know?
I would say I've learned, one, not to focus on the numbers. A lot of people say, hey, I want my credit score to be this number. I want it to be this number. Since everyone uses a different skill, it doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is the habits that I'm doing, which will build up to the credit score I'm looking for. I end up refinancing my student loans. Somebody ran my credit and said, hey, your credit score should be in the eights this time, and now it's in the sevens. You don't have any late payments. You don't have this. You don't have that. I can't figure out why. I said, no big deal. When we run it again at closing time, it'll be where it needs to be because I'm doing the right things. I focused on the process, not the numbers.
Wow. But I thought this was interesting. In 2016, a payment processor, TSYS.
TSYS.
Yeah, TSYS.
I'm familiar with them.
Okay.
Headquartered in Georgia. Yeah.
My man. See that?
He knows his business.
I'm just going to start calling him FICO.
But they asked basically 1,000 consumers which form of payment that they preferred. And I'm happy to say 40% chose credit cards. I thought that might have been higher, though. 35% said debit cards, and only 11% specified something other than cash. Or I thought the number would be higher.
I was hoping it would be higher, but I can understand the skittishness of the average consumer these days.
Let me ask one quick thing, Derek. Is cash dead, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's dying slowly. Not that quick, but it is dying. And the reason why is because everything's online. I mean, there's so many online banks these days. You've got, Allian or something like that? Yeah, Ally Bank. There's so many banks right now, or so many financial institutions like Chuck Schwab, you can't go in there and withdraw money from them or put money in, but once the money's in the system, you can play around.
You get
with
to
it.
Call him Chuck? I have to call him Charles.
I know them, so call him Chuck.
You
know.
I got you.
But it's on its way out. It's really on its way out. Everything's like digital currency now. Think about your retirement. I put money away in my retirement, but to me it's funny money until I can actually touch it and retire. So I think cash is on its way out, and we're all really going to start using things electronically and crypto type currency. Might be a little too much, but yeah.
Gotcha.
Tell me about the phrase, learning to speak your partner's credit language.
Why are you trying to get me in trouble?
So, come on, man. This explanation will save marriages in America.
All right. So, honey, if you listen to this, you know, apologize in advance. So, speaking to your significant other about money, it's a touchy situation, right? You have to really be open and candid about where your finances are. You might have to have some conversations about spending and overspending. Maybe someone spends a little too much. Maybe you're not okay with it, right? Well, you've got to kind of balance each other out. So the same thing goes. See, I'm not trying to start trouble here. The same thing goes with your credit cards, right? it's all about sticking to the plan. And I've got friends that are married couples, and we kind of talk about it to see kind of where everyone's head is at. You know, you all have to be on the same page, because if I overspend or my wife overspends, that takes away from the household income.
Well, you know, that's a funny, it brings me to a story. I remember a good friend of mine, when he first got married, he couldn't understand the concept of why he can stay within his lease mileage and his wife always overexceeds her lease mileage. So, you know, through years of struggle and understanding one another, they came to the realization that, honey, I will lease the car and you will own the car. And they found the happy medium. Right. And I think that's like understanding the partner's credit language. Wouldn't you agree, Arlington?
I would agree with that very strongly, Sean.
It's quiet over there.
And I enjoy my lease.
It's also about having those difficult conversations early. That's definitely for sure. And if someone puts more value in certain things, then maybe we just need to make a compromise.
And one more thing, you know, I'm a strategic thinker, and listening to you, you've moved me in so many different ways, and I've been able to see the world a little bit different. And one of the things I was thinking about you know, giving gift cards as a gift for this holiday season, as to friends and family, which a lot of people do. Is there a way that I can give, and I'm not trying to sound like the bird, cheap, 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 but I'm just trying to, like, give myself a gift, too. Is there a way that I can give away gift cards this season and earn the reward points while doing so?
Yeah, so the simplest way to do that would be to buy a gift card with a credit card.
How, Sean?
What is wrong? You're getting the gift card, I'm getting the points.
You're getting the points. I don't see anything wrong with that. Of course, you may want to make sure that your cash advance limit is set to zero or lower than the amount you're getting, just in case the credit card company gets a little antsy. Sometimes those things happen, so I would urge you to take that into consideration when you're doing that. But there's nothing wrong with getting points and giving money.
Yeah, because
it's in the same.
We talked about it. Like, I put gift cards on my credit card. I have it. And people don't know. You can buy gift cards, put in your credit, and the credit card company gives you the rewards, the points.
Yes. Very strategic. And then just to let everybody know, there are better cards for holiday shopping than others. Not all cards are created equal. So NerdWallet, one of my favorite websites, ranked best holiday cards. And number one was Chase Freedom for department store shopping. They give 5% cash back. Number two was Discover It Cash Back Match, which they say is the best card for Amazon shopping, where everybody's shopping these days. Costco Anywhere Visa. I didn't even know there was a Costco Anywhere Visa. But best for wholesale clubs. And there's so many more. So definitely check out nerdwallet.com.
Have you noticed, Derek, credit card companies getting a little slicker over the years and changing up the system to stop people like you from, you know, rewarding themselves in such high manners?
Definitely. They definitely have. But it's really about just trying to make sure that you get your payments in on time and that you work within their rules to make sure everyone kind of gets what they need. Communication is key.
But there's some shady rules out there. Like, you might live on the West Coast and your credit card is due at like 9 o'clock East Coast time. There are like some shady rules out there now.
Definitely. So if those lines of communication are open, you're able to get around it. I've made a late payment or two before, but it didn't get reported as a late payment because I make a call, say, hey,
right,
I don't know what happened here. Right. They look at it. They see, hey, you've never made this issue before. They take care of it. No interest. I mean, it's just about keeping those lines of communication open.
One thing that definitely happens all throughout the year, but in particularly around the holiday season, is people getting credit card offers in the mail. Would you suggest that people start really looking at those offers and opening them because there could be a great offer in there? And if so, what would you say is a great offer? What's a great offer look like?
A great offer is something that you can use and something that's out of the normal. All right. Just because somebody gives you something doesn't mean you need to take it. I would say anytime someone sends you a mailer, look at it responsibly, see if you actually need it, how you can use it, and make sure that it doesn't hurt your savings plans. If you aren't disciplined, don't use it. Best advice I can give you.
And my last holiday question is, you know, I said in our episode 2 show, if anybody listened to it, Bling Into Your Broke, that I'm not a fan of, like, stockpiling gifts, like, in early months and then giving them out.
Or giving them. Sorry. Didn't mean to say that.
What'd you say?
Or giving them.
If I must. I mean, but do you agree? I've never seen the concept that, like, that money could be put in a savings account, could be put in another investment. I just think it's something that you can find enough deals during that time of when you need to buy the gift, that I don't believe in this stockpiling of gifts in your home.
Yeah, I don't really do that either. I don't feel there's a need to. Honestly, we're in the age of two-day shipping from Amazon Prime. Hello. And there's deals that go on all the time. So I would look at it and say, when the deal's there, take advantage and pounce, because it may not be there tomorrow. That goes for most things in life. When you see opportunity knocking, open that door.
I heard that. And as you say that, unfortunately, I'm going to have to close the door and say goodbye to one of our most amazing guests, which has been Derek.
Thank
you, thank you.
Man, you killed it. You
come see me in Madison Square Garden sometime.
What'd you say?
Come see his All-Star game.
Yeah, so if you guys want to follow me on social media channels. You can follow me or my wife on Instagram. I'm at @home_DPOWE, @home_DPO, or my wife at @CICI_RIDAHCC Rida. We also have a website, Traveling Pose. So if you just Google traveling, TravelingPoes, like Powell without the L's, Traveling Pose.
So if somebody wanted to take a trip and they were planning a trip 6-7 months out from here, is that something you can assist them with, you can consult them with, and so forth?
Definitely. Just reach out to us on the site, follow us on Instagram, make communication, and we can help you plan whatever you need.
Well, see, that's what I mean. Just as I try to close the door, you take that opportunity, stick the foot in there, give all the tags, make sure people can find you. I love it. Derek, thank you again for coming out. It's Two Black Guys with Good Credit. We'll be back in a flash. Matt?
KnickKnackDirect.com is the fast, easy way to shop online. To buy an item from any U.S. website, just go to KnickKnackDirect.com. That's N-I-C-N-A-T Direct.com. Choose your method of payment and we'll ship, handle duties, and deliver your item straight to your door. I'm Sean of KnickKnackDirect.com, and you have my word.
KnickKnackDirect.com. Well, folks, this week my bottom line is simple. Cash is dead. D-E-A-D, dead. Credit is king, and a tier one score of 750 or more is the price of admission to the future of finance. Period. That's it. And, oh yeah, before we go, Derek is going to be a millionaire, and I hope to be his friend. You heard it here first.
Well, my takeaway is credit, credit, credit. If you learn how to manage credit and use it wisely, there's a whole new world awaiting you. I was at Jay-Z concert yesterday in the Amex suite, drinking, eating for free because of great credit. Nothing else. Not the money in my pocket. Great credit. And as they say, being a member has its privileges. Derek, I'll see you on the golf courses of Dubai and off to ice fishing in Iceland and then scuba diving in the Bahamas. Why? Because we can.
See you there, man.
Your money is your money, people, and it belongs to you in your pocket.
Yes. And just to remind you, great resources if you want to brush up on your credit. NerdWallet.com, definitely check them out for their top 217 lists. CreditCards.com, very reliable information for anything credit related. And Bankrate.com is always a good one too. And please email us your questions to tbgwgc@financiallyclean.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Black Guys Good Credit. And don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes and Stitcher to make it easier for new listeners to find us. Like DKSF Reporter, who left a review on iTunes. He said, "These two guys and a girl," I love Dion the Explainer too, "really breaks down finance in a way that I can understand. It's like sitting around with friends who know stuff that I want to know, but wouldn't actually ask them directly." So DKS Reporter, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right. Well, I'm Arlington, one half of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. And you know what I say, because I just created my tag last week. It's the game of life, people. It's wants versus needs. It's your call.
And I'm Sean, the better second half of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. And I'm out. And once again, Derek, thank you. Thank you so much for coming all the way from North Carolina to be on our show. It's great having you. And I'll see you all next week. And your money is your money.
And I'm Dion, the lady with the facts, the history, the stats, and the cold hard facts. And I'm out.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.